At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're talking about some pandering-ass motherfuckers, but they're not pandering to the usual crowd. Joining us in studio this week is comedian Jesse Ricker.
Hi, everybody.
Can we start that band?
What?
What was it?
Pandering-ass motherfuckers?
Pandering-ass motherfuckers.
I really like that's like an 80s punk band.
Yeah,
like those, a 90, early 90s.
Yeah, they definitely have some harmonies.
They got one review done in Maximum Rock and Roll, and then they broke up, and it was a 7-inch.
Yeah, it was a 7-inch split with another band that nobody's heard of.
So it had one song by the pandering-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's it. So, Jesse, why do you hate virtue signaling?
I guess I don't really hate when people are like trying to say good things, I guess. I know that sounds like a really simplified version. I don't care if people are like advocating for a cause, but I do care when they're doing it like just to get attention.
Okay.
Like just to like make people like kind of stroke their ego. And just as much, actually more, that I hate is when they're bad people doing it.
Right.
Which is a lot. Like, I don't know. I've seen that happen a lot, I guess. Like, I mentioned to him, Bill Cosby is a great example.
Yeah.
All that shit he used to talk on, like, comics who swore.
Yeah.
He was, like, raping people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just can't stand that. I can't stand it.
I didn't counter-argue, but I just fed it into that story when we were talking, like, right before you got here. Is I love the story, even though Eddie Murphy is also a cunt. But I don't think he's ever been accused of raping anybody. Probably hitting people, for sure. But
I don't look. I don't keep up on my Eddie Murphy.
Well, no, I've never.
Where
been.
Is Eddie Murphy a monster? Is not something I Google on a regular basis.
No, but he probably is. But I don't. Probably not on that level. But all I said was is the bit that he tells about when, and I know you've heard it before, when Bill Cosby called him and reamed him a new one.
Yeah, and then he said. Then he went to. Did his Richard Pryor impression.
Tell that motherfucker he call again. He can suck my dick.
Yeah, I remember that. No, but it does seem to happen a lot where it's like they're saying all this shit as a cover for their own activities.
Mm-hmm.
If talk is just enough for them to get away with whatever.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I mean, a little lighter than that, like another part of virtue signaling that I guess I don't like is when like comedians specifically use it as a platform to
okay.
like when they're not funny and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger because like they have, it's almost like they're inspirational speakers.
Right.
But there's just, it's like they get, there's a clapter, but there's no actual like, oh, I'm shocked by something you said. It was just, oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree a lot. I'm going to clap for that. I don't know. It just bothers me. I think it's weird.
Yeah. So clap if you love Satan.
I do love Satan.
Well, you're supposed to clap. That's the bit. There you go. See, that's what that is.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the same time, like, Satan's not a comedian.
Are we sure about that?
I mean, I like to not think so.
Well, you
He's
know.
He's a very serious gentleman with an agenda.
All comedians are going to hell.
If it wasn't actually a place. It's not.
All comedians are going to hell, so why wouldn't the best comedian...
Jews don't believe in hell.
No.
What do you guys believe in?
Nothing.
So you're like Jehovah's Witnesses. There's no hell.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know they didn't believe in hell.
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't believe in hell.
Really?
No.
Oh. Huh.
I was raised one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like crazy. What scares you if there's no hell? What scared you guys? Like, what'd your parents tell you that was going to happen to you if you were bad?
Well, they get left off the UFO.
Basically, what happens is when Armageddon happens eventually, which they've been saying is going to happen for a long time, the people who were loyal and true, I can always say true supporters, but I guess true followers of Jehovah, they live on a paradise earth forever and ever and ever, forever. And everybody's going to be perfect. And the people who weren't loyal followers die. And the people who were loyal followers and died before Armageddon will get resurrected and they will also be perfect. And the ones who didn't, don't. And then Satan gets cast into an abyss for 1,000 years or 10,000 years. Gets real blurry after that. Because it, like, I'll quote Matt Skiba, but I'll just put it to what, what Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio said was, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. It sounds like it's incredibly boring. Like, I wouldn't want to be on a paradise earth with a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses. It sounds incredibly boring.
Have you guys ever seen that TV show? I think it's on Hulu, The Good Place. It's exactly like that. Like, they have the good place, but they find out that it's, like, spoiler, the bad place. Because right. It's so good that it annoys every single person in all the right ways.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Yeah, I think you would like that show, but I don't know. That was just, yeah.
It's hot on the streets right now. Good Place is a good comedy show.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about recommending. I don't watch anything new. The newest thing I watch is when wrestling. It's like the only thing I can keep up on.
There's so much.
That's Jordan, the only I thing I can keep up, with, up on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Jordan's a cultured boy in a different culture.
Yeah. I'm many cultures. Yeah. Some I'm completely uncultured in.
Yeah. But like virtue signaling would be like if you did, for some reason, you got booked at a Kingdom Hall.
Well, here, I'll tell you. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you a funny story. Because they encourage you when you're younger to join the ministry school. I don't know. They've changed a lot since I've been gone because I left like 11 years ago, something like that. They've changed a lot of stuff, so I don't exactly know how it works anymore. But there's the Theocratic Ministry School, and that's when they meet on Tuesdays or Thursdays. And the first half of that is... they have people give what they call talks, which is essentially sermons. But, like, one of the talks is, like, somebody gets up there and reads, like, 10, 11 verses from the Bible. And they go through the entire Bible. And then when they are over and done with the Bible, they start again. There's no ceremony or anything. It's just they just start reading the Bible again. And my first talk, as they call them, was... when I was 8 years old, I had to get up. That's why I don't have a fear of public speaking. I used to have to knock on fucking doors, you know, when I was a kid and talk in front of people. And I had to give my talk. I had to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, which is all about faith, which is kind of ironic now, considering I'm basically an atheist. But I asked the guy, because my mom wanted me to go and practice ahead of time on the stage so that I wasn't nervous. And we knew the guy who ran the Theocratic Ministry School. Cool dude. He's dead now, unfortunately. He actually got in trouble in the 70s for playing Judas Priest records on the Kingdom Hall sound system while he was cleaning the Kingdom Hall, which I always thought was really cool. But I asked if, I was like, instead of me giving my talk, can we play Kiss and me play air guitar? That's what I wanted to do. Instead, I read from the Book of Hebrews, which is ironic, isn't it?
The Book of Hebrews.
Yeah. I can tell you I can tell you for a bit, well, at least in the New World Translation, what the Book of Hebrews says, the chapter 11, verse 1.
You know what? That's not going to make good podcasts.
It's not a bad. You know what's funny is when you search "let the" on like Apple Podcasts, it's like "let the faith flow through you." Like it's all like Bible shit, and then you get to us, which I think we're actually probably the second most searched now. So we come up pretty fast, but it used to be like all these Jesus bullshit podcasts.
I think we may be trying to cross into a different market here on following shows, Jordan. Well, I think we're going to attract some of that Christian audience.
Well, I hope that we do. And
let's do some Christian virtue signaling.
We have a fucking pentagram in our logo.
Some people don't know what that is.
How do you not know what a pentagram is?
You don't know what The Good Place is, Jordan.
I can understand.
It's a very popular show. It's like very popular.
You know what else is a popular show? Unlike the pentagram. Tells me to watch the whatever the fuck her name is, Kimmy Schmidt. Like everybody's like, you'd love that show.
It's not that good. It's the first season's good, but the second season is bad.
Yeah, I only watched the first season. I haven't had time to catch up on it. It's like I also haven't watched Lady Dynamite yet.
I'm
really mad at myself for not watching it, but
it's just so you have to watch it when you like you're ready to get rid of thinking for a while. Like it's not like it's just some of it's stupid. Like so some of it's just so dumb.
Basically what you're saying is like eat two edibles and then watch it because I don't think when I eat two edibles.
Yes, do that. Yeah, eat lots of pot and watch that show. It's incredible.
Yeah. So what we've done here is by talking about what we're talking about, we've signaled to the people listening, you know, the stuff that they're going to agree with. You should be able to form your opinion on that now.
We don't get hate mail. So, I mean, we signal all the time, like, hey, if you're into God, we're probably not for you.
Well, I mean, but we're not doing that to pander to the people that aren't for God, though.
No, we don't really pander to anybody.
Yeah.
We kind of do our own thing.
No, you pander, we pander. I'm not going to push this all on you, but we pander to the wrestling types.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's different. And we do throw out dog whistles because we're the fat woke boys.
Yeah.
But the thing is we're not creeps. Of course. We're not creeps. So
you know, the first thing a creep says is, we're not creeps. Yeah. That is the first thing they do say.
Yeah. You didn't set anybody at ease there, but
I'm calm, actually.
Let's see if I can rephrase that. Do you feel uncomfortable right now?
No, I feel great.
We're not creeps.
But you'd never know if I was uncomfortable.
Well, then that makes you a liar, which makes you a bad person.
I know.
Signal that, motherfucker. All
right. So you mentioned that you hear comics doing it, going for the clapter. Is this something you experience like on a regular basis, or you just see somebody pop along and you know they'll do it, but they figure it out and go away?
I wouldn't say like not in Cleveland. In Cleveland, it's like the complete opposite. Like it's just like the opposite of that. It's like fuck everything. Like,
where are you from?
Well, I'm from a small town, but I started doing comedy in like Toledo, Michigan. And in Michigan, it's a lot more like progressive, I guess. Like most comedians out there are just a little bit less like hardcore. Like I feel like here they're a little bit more rough around the edges. Like. I would argue. I don't know.
I mean, I would agree with you because I lived in Kalamazoo for a little bit.
Yeah.
And which is a college town, so people have to be PC. Mm-hmm. But then I look at people like Victoria Mansberger and fucking Brennan Schoen, and they're certainly, they don't care. They don't give a fuck. Which I respect the fuck out of, which she will be on our show in the coming weeks.
Yep. Yeah, we got her coming on. Yeah, it's different. It's Columbus is like that too.
Yeah, definitely, whoa. Definitely. I don't know much about Columbus, but I always see like there's always some crazy fight on Facebook, and it's always like a weird. They're like, oh, we're like the Illuminati, and I never understood the joke because it's an inside joke, and I want to know, but I also hate it. Like I hate an inside joke that's that popular that I know about it.
So I won't name names, but this virtue signaling thing is just like now all coming together because I'm not the type to like just fucking. Some people will know who I'm talking about, others won't. There was a guy who's from Ohio, lived in many places in Ohio, who preach. He was part of the punk scene, the PC mm-hmm. punk scene, the folk punk scene, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he, all he did was, you know, he lived at the house in Columbus that was all about that fucking bullshit and preached all that fucking bullshit. And then it comes out that he's a total fucking piece of shit.
Dude.
And, like, it's, like, things like that. And it's, like, what stings the most, like, as, like, a spectator is when you respect that person's fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, that's the worst part about it is, like,
yeah.
Dude, I really think, like, you are really talented. Why did you go and say, like, if you're going to be a piece of shit, I'm not saying do piece of shit things, but at least own it.
Yeah, yeah. Have consistency. Yeah. It's like that whole Louis C.K. thing. Like, for the longest time, he always, like, talked about how, like, men are awful. And I get that he was, like, admitting to it, but he was also kind of, like, putting himself up.
Admitting to it.
Well, I mean, he would at times, but then mm-hmm. he would just, like, yank it back. He would yank his humility right back. And then that same thing happened. It turns out he was jacking off in front of people, you know, unsolicited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to know who solicits. Who wants to watch somebody crank it?
Okay.
From a two male perspective.
I mean, a kink's a kink.
I mean, sure. I guess I just don't find jacking off appealing.
Well,
like,
it's aggressive.
What? You know what this is? I want to watch him yank on something for a while. No.
I mean, I've been asked. But,
by what?
Did you receive an invitation?
Yeah.
Did you get an invite?
Will you jerk off in front of me? My vagina is sore. I still want you to finish, though.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Well, I'm just saying, it does happen.
I'm signaling we should turn another way.
Oh.
I don't want to know who asked you that. And I don't want to. Well,
she was your mom, Jordan. Oh, sick burn.
This is over. I quit.
Are you guys having a good time? Yeah.
I'm drinking. I always have a good time when I'm drinking.
Yeah. I can't do that.
You can't drink?
No. I am virtue signaling to the alcoholics now. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let me
put
my knife in my left pocket so he doesn't try to grab it. Oh, wait. You're not drinking. You're fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. That's why I can't drink. I'm very violent drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets out of hand. I've put a couple comedians against walls and, like, try to break a bottle over somebody's head because they told me a racist joke.
Oh,
it's all bad.
I get really violent about that shit too. I mean, not like in a I'm a good person way, but like a, just stop. Like,
you're like shut the fuck up, and I'm like die.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's basically.
I would like those to meet in the middle. Like, shut the fuck up, beat the shit out of them. Like mm-hmm. that. Like, that's like, you guys are both at extremes. Like, you're like, oh no, just shut up, don't say that. He's like, I'll kill him. I'm like, no, beat the fuck out of him and teach him a lesson.
Teach him a lesson.
See, this is why I should be either a lawyer or a judge. I'm wasting my time. I should have passed the bar fucking 2 years ago.
I think you're half measuring there, buddy.
Why?
Because
I'd be biased?
No, because if you beat the shit out of them, you were operating under the assumption that they can be fixed.
No.
Learn?
Fixed and learned are two different things. You can learn like a child molester, they can learn to not fucking do that by repercussions. That doesn't mean they're fixed.
Hmm.
Unless you fix them and cut off their nuts, which is what they deserve in the first place. I'm dog whistling or whatever, virtue signaling
so
to whom now?
Signaling.
Yeah. This entire episode is a virtue signal.
See, this gives you a little this gives you a little insight into how crazy both Sheer and I are, because I'm just, all the synapses are firing. I'm like, fuck everybody.
Well, I guess I kind of like your approach too, because I think that's like the rage and the action is the opposite of a virtue signal, because a virtue signal is the, like, you're unwilling to take action, but you are willing to take credit for people that are doing action.
Yes.
Like, so I like somebody who just, like, puts the shit away when it happens, snap right there.
Yeah.
Like, when you see something, say something. I know it sounds lame, but, like, literally, like, be in the moment, not just kind of sitting there, like, taking the credit for everyone that's doing the work.
I mean, the problem with being in the moment, though, is if you let your emotions get the better of you, you can take action and that you're going to regret. Like, for instance, die. Like, I can't stab somebody.
Okay, so don't kill anybody. Yeah.
I can't do it. You know, I could do it, but I can't do it because I can't go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can go to jail.
No, I can't go to jail.
No, you don't want to go to jail.
I can't go to jail.
Saying you can't go to jail is like saying, I can murder somebody right now, and I can't go to jail. You don't want to go to jail.
No, I can't go to jail.
Because you're too pretty.
That is true. You wouldn't last a day.
Oh, he's been there.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 years. You wouldn't last 3 years. Wait, did I overestimate or underestimate?
Look.
He wasn't in there for 3 years.
Okay, good.
No.
We've only both done very short stints.
Yeah.
Good.
I think my girlfriend was in jail longer than both of us combined.
Oh, badass. Good for her. Do you guys just like DUIs? Yeah.
No,
not him. Hey. No. Me and her. Yes.
No, I'm a real criminal. Those people are just posers.
To be fair, and now I'm virtue signaling to the people that actually know me. You can't say I'm not a criminal. I am definitely a criminal.
Yeah, like it's just a crime to risk other people's lives.
Oh no. I'm not talking about the DUI now. I'm talking about many other things.
All right.
Let's just put it this way.
Kept Jordan's crimes.
I let the hate flow through you. But no, let's just put it this way. I would never be on Special Victims Unit.
Oh, good.
But I might be on Criminal Intent. Or the regular one.
Man, I would hate it if you were on Criminal Intent, because that would mean they have to put some bald motherfucker on screen for like 30 minutes that has to look like you, and that would be terrible to watch.
But what? But isn't that weird that Vincent D'Onofrio played a fat bald man in Daredevil?
And he was great.
He was. Anyway, we're talking to Jesse here.
I don't think
I told you we go off the fucking rails.
No, I just love that. The topic of people talking about being good people makes you guys be like, oh, I'm a bad person. Like, no, guys, don't worry, listeners. I'm still bad.
All right, this is how I'll put it. I'm a good-hearted person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do have a big heart, and I do care about people. But I'm mostly a cunt.
Okay. That's okay. It's okay to be a cunt.
Yeah. No, like, I would say that's an accurate assumption of me.
You are a cunt, yes.
I'm a big-hearted person. I do a lot for people.
But you are a cunt.
But I am definitely a cunt.
You sound like a librarian.
Are librarians this loud?
They're very mean, but they care. they really care.
Dude, my new alias is the librarian.
Hardcore librarian.
I love it.
The hardcore librarian, yeah.
The satanic librarian.
You yes! have to go do books to prisoners benefits only.
I don't want to do that.
Why
don't I said I'm a good person.
I mean...
Just because you went to a jail and did stand-up.
Yeah.
Prison, sorry, not
right,
a jail.
Right, Johnny Cash.
do not compare him to Johnny Cash, please, because I'll never hear the fucking end of that one.
Okay, of course, that's why I went. That's why everybody goes to perform in jail, because they heard Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison and were like, this is awesome. And it was that good. So
was it awesome?
It was awesome, but man, prison's really racist.
People tend to divide that way.
Yeah.
In prisons. Yeah.
It's,
high schools, weirdly enough. Yeah.
After I went up, Willis Gordon, who is a well-dressed African-American gentleman, the lineup went black, white.
Why did you have to say it like that? That's a virtue signal.
He was identifying the lineup.
By race.
That's
yes,
true.
Because it's necessary to the story. God damn it. I'm including details. You have to take the entire context of what I'm saying before you spew your bullshit.
Really? Because most internet articles don't.
Yeah
they
well,
do not.
I'm not on the internet.
Perception this is reality, show is, Jeremy.
Can I ask
perception
you a question?
Is
how else
reality.
Do we broadcast this fucking show? Because it's on the internet.
It's only being listened to by Mike Calhoun's dog.
Oh, I'm okay
and
with
he's
that.
Just so sweet,
JoJo's
isn't he?
A sweetheart.
We love JoJo.
It's his roommate, Gian's, but okay.
Still.
Whatever. It's great.
At any rate, after I got off stage, Willis goes on stage, and somebody walks by and yells, "Put the white guy back on!"
Was it a black guy who said it?
No, it was a white guy that said it.
They were. I couldn't tell if you were going hillbilly or like southern black there.
Man, I must really suck at impressions.
No, your Richard Pryor's pretty spot on.
Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm still trying to do it where I can remember all the beats. The Richard Pryor getting fucked in the ass by Marlon Brando.
Okay,
I'm still working on it. What?
Why do you have to talk
you
about
brought
that?
It up.
But why do you have to talk about that?
Because that's the impression that's good.
All right, if you're gonna work on this impression, Mick Jagger getting fucked in the ass by David Bowie, or vice versa, either would
that
work.
Isn't breaking news.
No, but it's funny. Like you doing two British guys' voice would be pretty funny, in my opinion.
All right, I'm not here to workshop my bits with you.
All right, well, Chris Paul, if you listen to this show, make him do it on the next Ad Hom show, I decree that you're fired from that show.
You're going to fire me from a show that I helped start? Okay. That's not going to happen.
Well, it's on my network.
Yeah, it's still not going to happen.
I'm like the Vince McMahon of this shit. Anyway, why don't you talk for a little bit?
Yeah, Jordan, shut up. I'm talking to our guest.
No, you're talking to me.
All right. So at any rate, so you notice this more in Michigan. So you come down here and it's what, less politically motivated comedy, or is it just you find the word usage is a little different?
I think both. I don't know, because it's like I hate two things. I hate when people really try to act like they're good people, and I also hate when people try to act or be bad people. Like, for instance, like I think I told you or somebody else that like I've heard a lot of like really disgusting rape jokes here.
Yeah, you told
that
me.
I would have never heard probably anywhere like where I used to do comedy, and I was just
Can
like
I ask you where you heard them? Shut up, Sheer.
Well, I'd rather not like
No. Give me a venue just so I can guess. I'm not going to guess their name out loud.
I mean, I don't want to like
I know who it is.
I don't want to be like, but one of them was where this guy like actually threatened to rape a heckler in the parking lot. Like,
oh, you were at a Daniel Tosh show?
No, it was like, yeah, of course, but yeah, it was here. That's happened three or two times. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just notice it because I feel threatened by it, obviously, but naturally, I don't know. But I just hear it a lot more, and I feel like it's a little bit more acceptable here, and it kind of upsets me. Like
that it's acceptable or that it's being said at all?
Both. Like, I know that shit is said, and I know some people are stupid, but it's also the job of like kind of a social group, you know, like comics, to be like, hey, dude, like I don't want that to reflect on me or anybody here. Like, I don't know. It's like less audience members, and you're scaring people.
Now, my philosophy on that is, as far as, and I don't really do stand up anymore, but like my philosophy on it is, how long you been in Cleveland?
8 months.
How long have you been doing comedy in Cleveland? 8 months?
7 months, 8 months.
It's not a group effort. It's not a fucking group effort.
Yeah.
And the sooner you realize that, the better. It's all about each one person. It doesn't matter what group anybody belongs to. It's like, as far as stand-up goes, I'm not talking about Sad Boys or what we do and like our crew. I'm not talking about that, but like,
we have gang mentalities.
Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, we have a gang mentality. They don't. And the sooner you realize that the dipshits who do shit like that aren't funny in the first place.
And yeah, and I totally like recognize that. I guess I just don't like to see somebody like that succeed over and over and over again. And it's like, well, is somebody going to tell them like stop being a piece of shit? I mean, I'm definitely going like definitely in the opposite direction of being pissed off about virtue signaling. This is the complete opposite thing, but
it's. Do you think they're doing it because it's like, I have to put my scumbag character so over the top and this is the only way I know how to do it?
Yeah, it's just a lack of creativity. That's all it is. Like, it's just like, it's like when there's too much, I don't know, gore in a scene or something, when there didn't need to be. It's like when they have a rape scene in a movie and it wasn't necessary. Like, it's just like, why are you doing that? You're just being lazy.
Can I be honest with you? All rape scenes can be replaced with an evil twist of the mustache and then cut. Cut.
See, my first thing goes to like Simon Gotch, and yeah, you're probably right.
Yes. Just a picture of Simon. it just a picture of Simon. He had a like a waxed mustache.
A mustache, if you will.
Okay.
So you replace the rape scene with Simon Gotch twisting his mustache.
And he's not even an accused rapist. He just looks like one.
And just fade out. That's it. That's all you need.
Rape scenes in movies. I remember the first one I ever saw was in What's Love Got to Do with It with Lawrence Fishburne and what's her name who played Tina Turner? Angela Bassett. That is one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
You about to break a pen? It looked like you were about to snap a pen.
Yes. I get tetchy about this stuff.
Jervis Tetch?
Yes, Jervis Tetchy.
He's kind of a rapist if you think about it. The Mad Hatter.
If I ever have to hear "if you think about it" in front of Ace of Rapists,
well, he's a comic book character.
If you think about it.
Well, he's a comic book character, so he's not real.
There's some stuff to pull apart here. It's a pretty gray issue, so let's think about it.
Batman comes in color. Unless it's written by Frank Miller.
Yeah, but yes, you're right. He's the Mad Hatter, so yes. But
excuse me.
So what would your I told you I get tetchy.
Because it sounds like you're getting glitchy.
Yeah, well, that too. I'm very glitchy. It's a side effect of my medicine. What would be your response to the thought that it's not necessarily that they're virtue signaling to like, hey, like I am an asshole, or hey, I'm a really Billy badass, and more of a just a guttural response to them being angry and they don't know that's the inappropriate way to express that anger yet?
I think that that's respectable, definitely. I mean, I'm a teacher, and so I definitely see like the different stages of awareness of the world, you know? And so when the kids, especially when they're at certain stages, they're going to be really opinionated and they're really going to want you to know what they think, because they think that nobody cares about what they think.
She just called me a kid.
Well, aren't we all?
You're very childish, Jordan.
I know.
And you're a cunt.
Yeah. I'm a child cunt. Or am I a cunt child? What's the better way to say that?
I'm going to say...
What do virtue signals say? Is like, because now I feel it's like astrology. Like, what does my virtue signal say?
Well, if you say it this way, you're signaling to these people.
Right.
But if you say it this way, you're signaling to a whole other mess of people.
I'm trying to make sense of this whole thing, okay? I got a lot to do.
I know it's tough because as somebody that's... their opinions aren't dictated by what people think of them. This is a very difficult subject to grasp.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I could give a fuck what anybody thinks about me.
You're going to say what you want, regardless of what the consequences are. So virtue signaling is not something that you
use. But that doesn't mean I'm an idiot because I think about what I say before I say it.
Yes, sometimes.
Well, that is the process of saying things.
I was going to say most of the time, but he went with sometimes, and I'll roll with that.
Sometimes. No, because it seems some places are just a little like more blue collar, I guess, would be, because like, all right, poor people do not give a fuck about shit like that.
Oh, no, for real. Like, and that's where I come from too. I grew up just like that. And I guess that's why, like me personally, I still kind of have this internal thing to be like, fuck PC culture, but like, I also know that I've grown and learned that you should definitely care about how people feel, because they're the ones that give you money and jobs and opportunities. Like, I think there's a reciprocity there, and people don't want to recognize it, and they're all going to fail. Like,
right.
Honest, as long as you're not going over the top and like just doing it to make money, like I'm doing these jokes because it'll get me the attention
said that is exactly how I feel. Like, I like a big part of me is like, fuck PC culture, because I hate like you and I talked about briefly before we started this, like I hate that whole leftist, hardcore leftist bullshit. But, like, I'm a hardcore fucking liberal person.
Me too, yeah.
But at the same time, like, not everything needs to, like, not everything offends everybody. And the people who champion that tend to be the people who are the worst.
Oh, well, yeah, and it tends to be, you know, college-educated people mm-hmm. who don't recognize the privilege of that.
White college-educated people.
It's literally usually always white people. And, like, I keep seeing these same, like, white middle-class people do this bullshit. It's like, you are the problem. Like, rich white people, like, they, I don't know, they do this thing where they cause the problem and then they blame other poor white people for the problem. It's kind of like, okay, so I hate, I'm kind of talking a lot, but
it's fine.
Okay.
That's what you're here for.
Okay. So, like imagine you have like two white people, like, you know, more white trash kind of like factory worker. And then you have
a Trump supporter.
Yes. Like my father, he's a factory worker. He's voted for Trump. Classic, you know, what you hear
blue
about.
Collar.
Blue collar guy. And, then you have
Which
another
is
guy.
Weird. Cause that's a union job, but whatever.
Yeah. But, and then you have the other guy, he's white and he's a lawyer. So say the lawyer is a prosecutor and he prosecutes, in an area like Chicago South Side, and he puts a bunch of black teenagers in jail who are innocent, and that's his bias in his head, right? And he's causing more harm than the dumbass guy like my dad who's at home watching YouTube videos of white supremacists, in my opinion. Like, these people are out there doing this shit, but mm-hmm. they act like they're good people because they have a resume and they do this and they do, but they're the same people who won't let black kids into their schools. Like,
yeah.
it pisses me off when people buy the idea of being a good person when they're not actually being good people.
See, like, now I don't feel bad about, like, doing drugs at work. Like, they tell you not to do it, but I do it and I'm fine. That's kind of where my head went with that.
You're just trying to find, like, ways to get out of the fact that you're a bad person.
No, I'm just trying to, like, fucking signal people to be like, oh, Jordan likes these kind of drugs. They're not readily available anymore. Let's get him some. I'm trying to use my reach here. I'm virtue signaling. Am I misunderstanding this whole thing?
I don't know.
I was going to say it, but I'm not going to.
No, you're definitely not misunderstanding because with generally the term, basically what you're doing is you're virtue signaling, but you're going all over the place with different groups. It's like, hey, drug users. Hey, atheists. Hey.
So I'm like a schizophrenic virtue signaler?
I mean, you could put it that way, yes.
Because, I mean, it's multiple. Or no,
that's
I'm a
one
so,
way.
No, I'm
that's
a social.
Okay. There's multiple ways you could have expressed that.
I'm a sociopathic virtue signaler.
A sociopath.
You just keep throwing out mental illnesses. I am this thing.
Sociopathic is not a mental illness.
It's not?
No, it's a behavior. It's a behavior.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know that.
What was the other one? That my aunt has schizophrenia. That is a mental illness.
Yeah. Oh, what's the difference? Like, what's
sociopaths are the people that, in some terms, they adapt to who they're around. That's the nice way of saying it. The mean way and probably more accurate way of saying it is they become who they're around so they can get what they need out of them.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
And they don't care that they're doing it.
No, yeah, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, that
so they'd be really good at virtue signaling.
Yes.
Super good.
That's probably what I am. Wow, it got quiet in here. But I'm also just an alcoholic, so it doesn't matter.
Fun. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Actually, that, you know, to your point earlier that you find out that a lot of these guys are jack-offs, then yeah, sociopaths.
Are they all guys?
Oh, no, it's chicks, too.
I'm just curious.
I guess when I say guys, it's more of a Midwestern guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's these guys over here and those, you guys and those guys. It's kind of gender neutral, I guess.
Yeah, a gender neutral guys.
Yeah, all the guys. I don't know. Well, I was not going to explain it.
Guys and guys. Those are our gender neutral bathroom, guys and guys.
I was going to try and say something like guys and gals, but it would have just been guys and gays, which is not what I was going for.
No. Were you virtue signaling there, Jordan?
No, actually that time I wasn't. I was trying to come up with a pun and it didn't work.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I feel like a good way, I guess, to like shorten up like virtue signaling is just like the hashtag of verbal language. Like,
yeah.
Like hashtag this, hashtag that, like in real life.
I'm trying to go viral with these words that I'm parroting.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this, I don't know how this ties into it, but it just crossed my mind. I went on somebody's Facebook page who I unfollowed probably a year and a half ago, like a super PC fucking person that I was just tired of their political bullshit. I was just over it. So I was like, unfollow. Like, yeah. I don't not like you as a person.
You still want to see, whatever they're posting.
I don't care, to be honest with you.
That's what the unfollow button's for.
And I was like, oh, I forgot that that person exists. I wonder how they're doing. So I looked them up on Facebook. We're still friends. I just unfollow them so I don't see their posts. And within like 10 posts, I was like, oh, this, okay, nothing's changed. There was a reason I unfollowed you, because it was just like, huge trigger warnings when talking about this subject. Like, okay, I'm the fuck out of here, dude. It was very, very disheartening. I was just like, oh, wow, this is no fun anymore. I hate, it was used trigger warnings when talking about Louis C.K. So if I just type Louis C.K. into Facebook, I have to type trigger warning before it?
That's what they're arguing.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know if I would go that far. That's like the crowd of people that do the virtue signaling that I'm talking about. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, no, like, I know a lot of those people.
Yeah, and it's like definitely usually white, middle, rich, kind of upper class people that.
Oh, they come from that, but they pretend to be crust punks with fucking
crust
punks with credit cards, dude.
Yes,
our new band name,
crust punks with credit cards.
Or at least it's a record name. Punks. No, that's the name of our next tour. Crust punks with credit cards. Or actually, I mean, if we were accurate about it, it'd be Crust Punks without credit cards.
Yeah.
That would actually be the more accurate one.
Yes, it would be. Well,
we'd
steal credit cards. It's fine. Yeah, okay. That's how Crust Punks get credit cards. Not these ones.
No, I was going to say most of them are trust fund babies.
Not the Trustafarians, so.
Trustafarians.
Yeah.
I forgot about that term. That's a good term.
Yeah, that was, I learned that out in Boulder because there are a lot of them there.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere in
Colorado. I've never heard that term before, but I like it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I should, you know what? That makes me think of it. I should have done rich people for this show. Because I hate rich people so much.
Well, we can have you back.
I'll come back for rich
white people. White people with dreadlocks is another thing.
Ooh, like, oh, I could do 3 hours on that.
There's two,
3 hours?
There's two that get a pass, in my opinion. And it's Thorgy Thor, who's a drag queen. And who's the other one? The guy from Counting Crows is a Jew, right?
I don't know. I didn't Google, is the dude from Counting Crows a member of the
singer?
Tribe?
You should know. Don't you all know each other?
No, we don't all know each other.
Yeah, they meet every Saturday. Yeah, is that the day or is it Friday?
Friday night, Saturday day.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who my, because I just had this conversation. Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's the only other white person that I allow to have dreadlocks. White person that's allowed to have dreadlocks, in my opinion. Okay. It's a drag queen and a professional wrestler, which, come on, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Your two favorite things.
Drag queens and professional wrestling, yeah. Sure.
He's all about the drama.
Right behind alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's fun. Whichever way.
Yeah. But yeah, it does seems. The problem is that it's not necessarily a bad message, what these guys are getting out there, but. Because it's being delivered from this, like, this terrible rich pulpit that they've got.
Yeah.
It muddies the whole goddamn thing.
A very white soapbox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just totally unrelatable and out of touch. That's the problem, I think.
Yeah, you can't go around shushing people and expect for social order that way.
Did you see my Bullet Club joke the other day, by the way?
I did see your Bullet Club joke.
It was funny as fuck. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It was not.
It was funny.
You think that you're the first person to come up with that joke?
I know.
Eat
I am.
All of my asshole.
I am.
Here's my tip.
It said shoosh, not shoot.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I forget. I'm just so.
You a stoner?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I ask what grade you teach?
Oh, eighth grade.
That was the best grade.
Yeah.
That and senior year.
Eighth grade
and senior year are the best.
They think they're hot shit. They really do.
Yeah.
Well, I actually got laid off yesterday.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, it was like a weird thing. Like, I'm not going to name the school, obviously, because it's not a good idea. Because I just mentioned how much pot I smoke.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so I took the job of somebody who got fired for doing something pretty bad, which I can't mention what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got canned, and then I took the job of long-term sub. And then there was another teacher who came back after having cancer.
Ah.
She was the seventh grade social studies teacher, and she came back and then bumped out the long-term sub in that room. But that long-term sub was at the school longer than I was.
Oh.
So I got bumped out of my room.
Mm.
So now I don't have my classroom anymore, and it's just very depressing.
What do you teach?
Social studies.
Oh, fuck yeah. I would have liked you a lot, because I think history is interesting as shit.
It's really fun, but in the eighth grade level, especially at the school that I'm at, it's just really hard to get...
What do they teach eighth grade? What's eighth grade history? Is
that early American?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like Constitution, yeah. Revolution, Civil War, slavery.
Well, no, don't they go through that? I'm trying to think. We went through Revolutionary, then we went through Civil. That was ninth and tenth grade. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
You were in the slow people class.
No, I wasn't. Fuck you.
It's okay.
I was not in the LD classes. I was just lazy. If I was in LD, it was because I was a lazy dickhead.
I was going to say lazy dickhead.
To me, that is the slow people classes, because I come from a privileged school district where we're through all that shit.
Let's talk about lazy dickheads. Who here has a job?
I have a job. It's
what
doing
job?
This.
Do you get paid to do this?
Yes.
Yeah, very fucking minimally. Very fucking minimally.
And you can pay me to do this too at patreon.com/dirtyshear.
See,
for $30 a month, we'll make you a commercial. Hell, we'll do a live read. Hi, I'm Jeremy Shear for Jess Ballstick. Hey guys, have you ever wanted to go to a comedy show on a Sunday? I know, Sundays, right?
I know, me neither.
Who would have thought Sundays could have comedy shows? Well, you're in luck. Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio has you covered every Sunday at 7 o'clock. That's right. You can see Jess Ballstick hosting her way through some of Cleveland's finest up-and-coming comedians every Sunday.
I like how every showcase is the best comedians.
Do you want to know something funny about that? Jeremy has to do the commercials by himself now because I don't get paid shit.
You do? Oh, they actually pay you for that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we have sponsors.
Wow. Wait, they...
She's never listened to the show.
I'm sorry. I don't show up prepared, usually. I apologize.
Just like you don't listen to our podcast, I'm not going to watch that show you told me to.
Probably not. And I understand.
Even though it's probably good. And I bet it's on the list of shit my girlfriend wants to watch. You know how many wrestling shows I have to watch a week? So many.
Oh, it must be so hard.
It is.
Three.
And it's sounds difficult.
Three. That you have to watch.
Three that I have to watch. Way more than... What about Being the Elite? I have to watch Being the Elite.
All right, fine.
And I have New Japan now.
Oh, I keep forgetting that you have New Japan.
And you have New Japan by proxy me.
Yeah, I know, but I can't have time to watch that because...
See what I mean?
I don't. I have to be aware of things like The Good Place. I have to keep a general pop culture knowledge.
Or we could talk about how... Wait, shit, when is it? Is this getting released Monday? Yeah, yeah, this is getting released Monday. Hey, Sandusky, fucking Kalamazoo, we're going to be in town this week. Like this week. You're listening to this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And if you're past that and you're in that area, you're a cunt.
Don't call our audience cunts.
They wouldn't expect anything else from us. Friday night, we will be at Halo Live in Sandusky. Shear, help me out with the guests. I know we have Derek Margum, who's helping us set up the show, from Stay Tough, the clothing line.
Keith Bergman is the live guest.
Other live, well, there's two, because I just mentioned the other one.
Yeah.
I love Keith Bergman.
You love Keith Bergman?
I have to give a shout, a virtue signal. I believe in Keith Bergman, and I think he's the greatest man alive.
You should come see him Sunday.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh my... Thank you.
Or
yes.
You should drive out to Sandusky on Friday night and come to our show. It's only $10. And then who's the comedian performing it for the Sad Boys? Mike Phillip.
Mark.
Mark.
Mark. Phillip. And Mark. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you should come Friday. It's only $10.
All my favorite people. Those are the people that I first started doing comedy with. Oh, they're
I promise
so great.
It's only $10.
Okay, I believe you. All right. Well,
I'm just letting you know. It's $10.
$10.
The next night in Kalamazoo, if you want to drive further and you're a cheap fuck.
Kalamazoo?
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
That's like 8 hours away.
No, it's four. And it's my second home, so watch what you say.
It's 4 hours away from here?
Yeah, it's only 4 hours.
What?
Yeah,
it's only 2 hours from Chicago. You do the math.
How far? I feel like from Bowling Green, it's 4 hours, too.
I don't know what route you're taking.
Which, huh. Yeah.
It's 4 hours. Like, Kalamazoo, unless you stop every 10 minutes, it's four, like, it's technically 3.5 if you're pedal to the metal. But anyway, so the 23rd, we're going to be in Sandusky. That's this Friday. Come see us. It's only $10, and it's worth it. You're going to get 4 hours of a show for $10, and there's booze there. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking if you're not there. And what else is there to do in Sandusky besides Cedar Point, and it's not open yet? So I win. Kalamazoo, we will be at Shakespeare's lower level. We're coming back there. We did our first live shows there, and they went over like gangbusters. So if you listen to us from that time on and you're not there, you're also an idiot. Shout out to Tracy Cavanaugh, who will probably drive from Indiana to come see us in Kalamazoo. So you have no excuse, and that one's only $5. So, and we'll see none of that money.
Yeah, more than likely. That's fine. It's just how it goes. Yeah, Keith is coming on Sunday, though, to do Sad Boys, so you got to come.
Also come Friday, Sandusky. It's no big deal.
Seems like a trek. Oh, Amber's going?
Yeah, but she's
coming
with us.
Yeah, she's coming with us both shows.
Oh, well.
Okay. We might actually have a caravan because my buddy Craig wants to come and he's got a Subaru, so I might.
Oh, she was talking about that. Isn't she helping you guys out?
Yep.
Oh, and she's going to hang out with Mark?
Mm-hmm. She's going to sell merch that we don't have.
Can you guys FaceTime me? Because I would just love. No,
why don't you come to Sandusky? What are you doing Friday night? Nothing.
Wait. Tonight? Or
do you have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
Well, what's he doing next Friday night?
Nothing.
Okay, so drive out to Sandusky. That's $20.
Sandusky. Oh, no, he lives in Fort Wayne, though. He's.
You guys can meet. It'll be so cute.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think he might be in Chicago that week. I don't know.
Quit trying to sell the guest on paying a cover like we do that.
Like I would actually... Shut up. I'm just telling people it's $10.
Yeah, I know. You're signaling that it's $10.
I'm also fucking being...
Tell another signaling joke.
All right, here. You know what? Go, and you know what? Dare you. Fuck yourself.
All right.
I should be having to tell you how to make money.
I know how to make money, dude.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, Jeremy, teach me your secrets.
See, the first you get your teeth yanked out,
and then you get them fixed.
No, then you start going around with your penis tucked between your legs and doing a little hustling.
Oh, good Lord! I need to smoke a cigarette.
Fine, you go think about that while you smoke that cigarette. Before we go, we do have to thank our sponsors.
We basically already did.
Also, we recorded here at... you got to...
Damn it.
All right, we got to thank Mike Calhoun Studios for setting us up this week.
Chatter Squadron Studios.
It's Chatter Squadron, so whatever. There's a light staring me at the face that I've seen a million times. It's great here. Also, thank you to Just Ballstick at Epic Fall on the Twitter, and thank you to Brit Fox, Xbox Rocks, on the Snapchat and Instagram.
Girl, whenever you want a new commercial, just fucking let us know. We'll do it.
Yeah. And it won't be like the last ones if you didn't like the last ones. I got no feedback, so I don't know. But you can listen to all of our commercials on the channel at lettheheatflowthrough.com. Jesse, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This is a fun topic. But
this was fun.
Yeah. Jordan, I don't think we're going to meet anybody that hates virtue signaling as much as Jesse Ricker.
No. There is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
This is is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.